in the world in which we live right now, we're always looking for better service and better prices, but sometimes things just don't go as planned. One of the big issues in the past week or so has been when Woolworths had their IT issue, and suddenly all their stores, not all, but nearly all of their stores across Australia had to close down. Roger Simpson is a retail expert and the Chief Executive Officer of Retail Solution and joins us on Australia Overnight. Roger, thanks for your time today.
No problem at all, Alan. Roger, pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. Roger, it was a big deal and caused all sorts of problems for Woolies and also for their customers when this happened earlier in the week. What was the end result of it all?
Yes, it was certainly quite a challenge and just sort of happened, I think, between sort of 4 p.m. and 4:30. So they weren't down for long, but of course, you've got it's a busy time for shoppers to be in shopping. And I think the biggest issue, Alan, was that the people that were in there, of course, got caught because they couldn't check out. So they were just told to leave the store and had to abandon their shopping, and all sorts of dramas unfolded.
Something that has just occurred to me as we're talking right now is what would have happened if someone was sort of midway through doing a transaction? Would the transaction have been halted, or would people still have been charged for some of the products that had gone through?
Yeah, hard to say. Depending on what the IT issue was, but I would guess that if a system went down, that sale probably wouldn't proceed. So they'd be caught in the same boat. So that would be just couldn't finalise it. So off you go.
There were some stories where the people at some Woolies stores just said, "Look, take your stuff and go. We're not going to charge for it." Is that a true story, or is that a bit of scuttlebutt?
I think it might be scuttlebutt because it was interesting that I read as well that one particular customer, when she Facebooked or tweeted or whatever, and she was quite frustrated because all she said we got was an apology, which I think is actually a good thing from Woolies anyway, because it is one of those, it's a bit of an unforeseen circumstance that's challenging. And she was saying, well, they could have let us just have our groceries for free. So, to Woolies, it would mean nothing. It's a 0.00001% of their profit, I would suggest.
But yes.
I mean, where do you draw the line, I guess? It's always a bit challenging in that respect.
Yeah, I guess in that lady's case, nice try, but thanks a lot. We're not going to go that far
right.
for you. Now, look, this isn't the first time that this has happened. We've seen it happen with banks. We've seen it happen with airlines. We've seen it happen with telephone companies. I'm with Vodafone, and at one time, Vodafone just were not working for a few hours. I didn't know what had gone wrong. I went over to the local Vodafone shop, and they said, yes, everything's down. So it must be terrible in the IT departments of these organisations when something like this occurs.
Oh, it would be an absolute nightmare, and I'm sure there's so much pressure on getting things fixed. I guess the challenge, and it's looking at it from, which I try and do as well, Alan, is, you know, from both sides. And what should a company do, and how does the customer feel? And with Woolies, I think it's having a plan, because it's, and I don't think it's happened before, but it could well happen again. So. And this is the thing, if they leave it up to the store managers to decide, they're going to be all over the place, of course. So it's actually having a plan. Look, if this happens, this is our strategy, this is what we do, this is what we say to customers, et cetera. So, and it's a bit like with, as you said, with, you know, some of the banks or airlines or whatever it might be, is that when something happens, because the big thing is communication, because what happens at airports, of course, is you're just waiting in a queue and you've got no idea what's going on. And that just causes so much frustration. It's that whole lack of communication that causes the biggest issues. And then, of course, you hear the rumours amongst the crowd that something's happened, and things just get worse. So it's having a plan and then communicating that very early on is really important.
When it comes to the people who are working behind the doors in the IT department and something as big as this happens, do they have like a checklist? Okay, let's check this and tick them all off as they go. This is right. Uh-oh, here's the glitch. How does that work?
Yeah, I think with this one as well, it was actually they were doing the old software upgrade. And I'm not quite sure because I'm certainly no IT expert, Alan, and I tend to shy away from IT. I just hope things work most of the time.
Yeah, me too.
And but that's a challenge, I think, with software updates. And there's obviously some glitch that's happened, and bang, down they went. So horrendous, absolutely horrendous.
I suppose the answer to this really is, if you're going to be doing a software update, don't do it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Do it at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, it's interesting because obviously with banking now, I mean, most of us are online, and invariably you get the message to say that we're doing an upgrade, and it's between 2 and 4 in the morning, and it's also like Citylink, you know, with the upgrade to the Tulla, and I mean that's going to be a massive challenge, of course, and with transport. But of course they've done everything after hours, which is keeping that, I guess, the problems, etc., and the congestion to a minimum. Mm. So, but you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't know why this was an upgrade done at 4, because it is a busy time, and people were tweeting in and, thanks for no dinner tonight, Woolies, and all those sort of challenges. So we get very irate.
Oh, sure, yeah. Look, just harking back to, you know, what happens when the airlines have their issues. And, of course, there's nothing worse than standing in a queue to check in the first instance. But then suddenly it all goes down and you've got this poor check-in person there who probably doesn't know even what's happening, except the system isn't working. And then, of course, they've got, in some cases, have hundreds of people banked up who are all complaining and screaming at them, wanting to know what's going on. And, of course, the person at the coalface, they don't really know, do they? So you've got to spare a thought for them.
Oh, absolutely. And it's very challenging because travel is quite a stressful thing for a lot of people. I travel frequently, so it's more a frustration more than a stress for me. But that's the challenge, and people are already stressed, of course, and then when there's delays, you know, they're going to miss their connection, and there's a lot of, I feel for these people, but it's also about how they handle it, and unfortunately what happens, and like a lot of situations, is that companies don't handle these situations well. As I said, they don't communicate it well, so the customers are left in the dark, and that's really frustrating, or they become a little bit... They try and justify that it's not their fault or it's someone else's issue or whatever, and customers don't want to hear that at all. They want an apology, and they want some sort of action about how are you going to fix it.
Yeah.
And that tends to work most of the time, but you're always going to get customers who you can never satisfy in these situations, of course.
Roger, perhaps we could just talk about retail. You're the expert in retail and know a whole bunch about it. The retail world seems to be in a bit of crisis, particularly the big stores, the department stores.
And indeed, AMI and DJs.
Indeed, yeah. But even beyond that, something has occurred to me right now. When you get the big companies, you've got Coles and Woolworths, and I'm going to pick out two departments they've created within their supermarket chain, and it's their bakeries. And look, and I'm not saying for a second that their bread isn't good, and look, I regularly buy it myself, but I'm wondering, with them doing that, what sort of impact is that going to have on groups like, for example, Baker's Delight, who also are little standalone franchise operators, and bake a damn good product. What impact is it going to have on the smaller guy?
Yeah, look, it's interesting because they are certainly extending their tentacles into lots of other things. And my local Woolies is, and I think this has become a fairly common thing as well, they've now got sushi. So they're actually doing fresh sushi. And right outside the supermarket is a standalone, again, as you're saying, possibly a franchise little sushi bar. So it's interesting, and look, I guess it's just competition these days. It's going to happen, of course, and because again, Woolies and Coles, of course, are all about how can I have this customer coming in and I can satisfy all your needs. Mm. Because if I can provide that all to you, it makes it more convenient for you the shopper. So I understand their strategy, but what of course happens, and it's a bit like again at my local supermarket, which is very common for most supermarkets, is there's a butcher's right outside. We had a fruit and vegetable place just down, just three doors down as well. And often these companies or these small shops actually survive extremely well because they are offering a level of service that you can't get in the supermarket, because as you know, a lot of it's self-help, and customers want to ask a question about a particular cut of meat or whatever it might be. And particularly with, I think Baker's Delight, do it well with their, because they've got a really good range.
Oh yes, great
and,
products.
And yeah, so it's having, to me, how you compete against anyone who's large, and like Amazon's here as well. And for any business who wants to compete with the big boys, is you've got to have great product, and then you top that up with great service, and customers will come back. So it's not about price. You've got to be competitive, but you don't have to have the cheapest price.
And I think you're right in saying too that service is going to be paramount. If you're happy to go to a place where there's little service, I look at the business of pharmacies right now and how they're going. You know, there are big guys that have come into the market, and the little guy, you know, how's he going to survive? It's going to have to be just on service.
Absolutely, and because everyone's offering the similar product, and pharmacies are interesting. I've got lots of pharmacy clients, and they're certainly facing some big challenges. And Chemist Warehouse is doing an amazing job with that.
Sure.
With that, you know, we were offering discounted prescriptions and front of store products. So they sort of own that space around discounting, and for anyone trying to compete against that, it's very challenging. But to me, it's exactly what you're saying, Alan, is that if they can differentiate on service and quality advice, but keep that consistent, that's the challenge I find with a lot of retailers. It's really good one day, and you go in the next day, not so good. So they've just got to be really consistent. And it's about finding the right people, training them well, following up, et cetera. So, and, you know, cause you can't really have a bad moment, because if you lose a customer, it's all over social media, as you know.
Sure, quite true. Yes, that's what happens. Look, you know, just in the zone that I live in, there was a lovely toy shop that opened up about 2.5 years ago. And look, I went and had a look, not that I buy toys, but I went in just for a look at it to see what the store looked like. And I was very impressed with the way it was going. I just had a chat with some of the people who were there. They were very helpful, really wanted to serve. And then I've seen just a couple of years later, they've got their closing down sale coming on.
Wow.
Disappointing to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And people are calling it a retail apocalypse, with particularly like out of the States, of course, where it's the trend seems to happen before Australia. Mm. But it's interesting as well is that and what seems to have happened is that the middle sort of area where you've got your discounters that, you know, are still surviving okay.
Yes.
And your top line retailers that are, you know, like your Louis Vuittons, etc., where there's a bit of exclusivity, of course, is that they are surviving quite well. It's the middle ones that are struggling, because how do they differentiate? But again, it's the stores that are offering that great level of service are actually doing phenomenally well. So that's the key thing all the way through, of course.
Roger, Retail Solution, do you have a website folks can go and check out what's happening in the world of retail?
Absolutely, yes. Yep, it's www.theretailsolution.com.au. And, we're very passionate about bringing the service back to retail and retailers having fun with customers. And I think that's a key part of what gets those customers to come back, you know, creating that experience, which is all too uncommon these days, Alan, unfortunately, in retail.
It is for sure. Roger Simpson is the Chief Executive Officer of Retail Solution. Go online and have a look at the website. Roger, terrific talking with you today. Have a great weekend, and talk to you again soon, I hope.
Thank you, Alan. Pleasure talking to you as well.